I feel a little, how's that for sound? Too loud, too late? We're good? All right. I feel a little naked today. I walked out this morning. I had a couple different things. We're trying some different alternative things for like Facebook Live. I got a little camera set up there. Gonna see if that works out better than Zoom. And so I had all these thoughts going through my mind, and I wanted to make sure I had my camera, and I had to have the cord, and I had a lot of things that I had to keep track of and stuff, and walked out without my Bible. Without my Bible. And so I feel really, really, now it's not the same when it's not your Bible. Like, I got stuff all over the place in that thing, and every paper means something to me, so it's just like, it's one of those things. But I got everything written down, but still I feel vulnerable without my Bible, and that's my shield, right? Like, and that's how it should be. And so it's kind of funny that I'm going to bring this message, and I don't have my Bible, but you're going to find out why. So, couple thoughts that came to my mind. Vicky said, "Iron sharpens iron," and you're going to hear that, right, in this message. And then in one of John's songs, I wish I could pull that up. Real quick, but in the third song, it said something like, "But mine is strong as armor," and then it went on, and it really goes with the message. So there were some things that kind of go with the message here again, like that always happens. It seems like this is a two-part message, and I see each one of you. And if you do not come back on March 19th, I'm gonna remember that, and I'm gonna feel some. So you got some pressure, okay? Because I'm looking at every one of your faces right now, and I'm making a mental note, and there's a lot of them. So every seat is filled in here almost, and I love that. I mean, it really jacks me up to see this, that there's so many people, believers in here right now. And I expect to see this on the 19th of March. On the 19th of March, you all should be here. There is no food. Now see, that's what we're going to see. That's where we're going to see what the truth is, right? Because there's going to be no food that day, and we'll see if you still come back. If you still come back. What kind of food do you want? What kind of food do you want? Okay. Pancakes, cake, right? I know. Thank you, Vicky, for setting that up. All right. I'm going to start with prayer because I'm... feel a little bit like I'm not sure which way I want to go with this message completely. So I just want to make sure, Lord, that you bring us the way that you want us to bring. That this is your word, your time. It's really about you and what you want us to hear. And I know this is a message that some of us are pretty good at, but we need to be reinforced. And I know that this is also a message where some of us struggle. And I've had times where I've struggled with this. Just believing in the power of Scripture. Believing in the power of Scripture. So I just lift this message up to you. I pray that that we travel the right road, your road, and only your road. Amen. All right. So this message goes along with, again, being more bold in Christ, right? Like, if we want to be more bold in Christ, what do we need to do to get to that point where we can feel like we're strengthened? We're ready to go, right? Somebody comes at you, you're ready to go. Some situation comes at you, you're ready to go. Where are we in this? How much is our belief in the right place? Are we strong enough to withstand the storms, right? And so in order to be able to do that, if we want to feel bold, we got to do some digging. Some soul searching. And we got to put in some time. We got to put in some time with Christ. And at times, life can feel really tough, filled with temptation and loss, hurts, disappointments, feeling powerless, and sin kind of gets in our way. Anybody else feel like that? Anybody struggle with any of that stuff? I mean, the one that I was, that the Lord put on me about feeling powerless, sometimes I look at situations and I say, what can I do about that? What can I do to change that situation? And a lot of times I feel like there's nothing I can do. It's just like that's the situation. That's where we're at, and that's what's going to go on. And it doesn't matter what Reggie does or doesn't do. And I think we can all feel like that. But there is things that we can do. And there's really things that have power, that we underestimate how much power there is behind that. Battling that stuff on our own is futile. It's futile. We can't battle that stuff on our own. We can try. And once in a while we could be successful. We will it over. We gird it up. We overcome something through our own will. It happens sometimes. That's the honest truth, right? But that's not where we're supposed to be lying, right? We're not supposed to rely on ourselves. And up here in the Northeast, I think we have a trouble with that. I think we feel like we can do that. We can gird ourselves up. We'll overcome anything. We'll push ourselves through anything. I come from the Northeast. It's cold. I can battle through it, whatever. You know, and I remember when we had first gotten married and my mother was trying to tell us about finances and stuff, and she was like, well, you know, what happens if you decide you want this and you don't have the money for it? What, you know, you got to plan this out and make sure you're in a good place and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what, Ma? If it comes down to that, I'll just work more. I'll just work more. Right? If I need something, I'm going to do what I need to do to get it done. I'm going to provide for my family. If I have to work three jobs, I'll work three jobs. That's what I told her. And that was the wrong mentality. I was relying on myself way too much. And you know what happens when you rely on yourself? It puts a lot of pressure on you. And then you crumble when you can't do it. There's only 24 hours in a day. That's it. I can't work 24 hours a day. And sometimes we put ourselves in positions that we feel like we have to. And that's not where the Lord wants us. And we need to know how to battle appropriately. Where do we get our power from? Where do we get our power from? And so we're going to use this scripture here to explain how Jesus battled temptation. Okay? But we're going to go beyond just temptation, but this is what he did to battle temptation. And we all have temptations, don't we? Don't we all have temptations of things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but something is pulling us towards that, right? And so we're going to go to Matthew 4:1. We're going to start there. I'm going to kind of read through this whole thing. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Right off the bat, how was Jesus led?
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit, right? It wasn't his own doing. It wasn't his own doing, right? So we know right off, where's his power coming from? The Spirit, right? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Did he know he was going to be tempted by the devil? Of course he knew he was going to be tempted by the devil. He knows everything. He knows what's coming. He knows what's done. He knows everything. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, is that important? Probably pretty important, right? Fasting gives you power, right? Fasting gives you power because what you're doing is you're relying on him more. You're not relying on yourself as much. You're relying on him. Afterwards, he was hungry. So we can see that he was also a man, right? He battled same thing as we battle. He was hungry.
40 days.
40 days. 40 days. It's a lot. 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Now also think about this, right? What happens when you're hungry? And you're worn out? You're in a weakened state. Right? You're physically in a weakened state, right? So you ever notice that you're more vulnerable to temptation, to sin, to other things when you're in a weakened state, right? And there's Jesus. His body is in a weakened state. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." He knows he's hungry, right? So what's the first temptation? Food. That is how conniving Satan is. He knows your weakest points. He knew his weak point at that moment. But he answered and said, "It is written." It is written. So where is he getting his power from? Scripture. The Word of God. Right? It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Right? So Scripture. He pulls into Scripture. He didn't come up with his own idea at that moment. And he didn't pull out a parable. He pulled out a Scripture. And where did Jesus get that from? Which Scripture? Deuteronomy 8:3. Which says, "So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. And fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your father know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." That's where Jesus got it from. Can you follow that? You see that? So let's go back to verse 5 in Matthew. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written.'" Who's saying this? Satan. Satan is saying this. So now Satan's battling back with Jesus using Scripture. Interesting, right? Interesting. "He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." He's challenging them through Scripture. Satan can challenge us through Scripture. He didn't cower. Satan didn't cower to those words right off, right? He says, "Oh, you're going to use Scripture? Well, I can use Scripture too." Right? And where did he use it from? He used it from Psalms. Psalms 91 and his temptation. Psalm 91, 11. "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Right?
Recording in progress.
He's saying that he's going to gird you up. He's like, the angels can protect you. It says right there the angels can protect you. So just, why don't you just trust your own words, Jesus? Throw yourself down. Let's see how you do. Prove to me. Right? But Jesus knew this. He knows all. He knows all. He could have said what Satan said is scriptural, so I should just give into it. Right? I could give into that temptation. Because it's scriptural. It's in the Bible. Right? I can use that. And I can show them my own strength. My own power. But Jesus not only being fully human, was also fully God and knew better. He wrote the scriptures. He wrote the scriptures. So he knows the full counsel of the scriptures. And came back to fend off the temptation. Here's a little side note. How many of us have ever gotten drawn to something that maybe we shouldn't be doing or want to do? And then we said, well, you know what? Look through the scriptures and, wow, there's a scripture that can justify what I'm going to do. Without taking the full counsel, you can look at one scripture and sell yourself out. And sell yourself out. But if we look towards Jesus' example, then we're not going to sell ourselves out. Because you know what? We're going to understand the full counsel. We're not going to run off of one scripture. We're not just going to utilize an eye for an eye. Right? Because we know Jesus came and told us some other things besides an eye for an eye. We could try to justify and use it to give into our temptation, our sin, or even accepting defeat or fear. Right? We can do that through Scripture if we allow it to. But you know what? We're getting a message, and that's going to tell us not to do that. Not to believe those lies. Continue on. Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And where did he get that? There's a lot in Deuteronomy. How many of us are reading Deuteronomy too much? Yeah, exactly, right? But if the Lord is pulling out of Deuteronomy, maybe we should be pulling out of Deuteronomy a little bit, right? Deuteronomy 6:16. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. And the devil wasn't done. Right? So the Lord kind of comes back at him. But Satan is persistent. Persistent. Have you ever felt that? Persistence? Have you ever felt him on your shoulder, pushing you a little bit more? Tempting you a little bit more? Give up on that person. You've talked to him about Scripture how many times? How many times have you told him to surrender his life to God? Give up on him. Stop talking about it with him. You ever have those thoughts in your head? Family members we've given up on. Who need us. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan." I think it was probably more like, "Away with you, Satan." Right? Say it right. It's an exclamation point there, right? And that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to shout those words. For it is written, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Can we utilize that scripture sometime in our own battles? Should we be utilizing that scripture in our own battles? We should all have a big old star right next to that bad boy right there. Because temptations aren't going to stop. The battle doesn't stop. It's up to us to lean into Him more, to know His words more, to fend and battle the way He wants us to. And he got that from Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him, and shall take oaths in His name. In His name. Then, guess what happened? The devil left him. The devil left him. He said those words, and then the devil left him. Pretty important words. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Why did the angels come and minister to him? It's in there, so it's got to be important, right? And I believe it's because Jesus felt the effects of that battle. He was human. He's God. But just because he was God, he didn't separate himself from his humanity. And he felt that. You ever go through a battle in your mind and get physically exhausted? Physically exhausted. How many of us are dealing with emotional issues and are physically exhausted? Yeah, right? Yeah. You know how come? Because you have a heart. You have a heart. If that is not happening to you, I don't know. There's some investigation that needs to go on. Because anybody who cares and has a heart are going to feel those effects. I'm going to feel those effects. And Jesus felt the side effects. The emotional toll of going through this battle of temptation. He was hungry. He was hungry. He was tired. He just battled Satan. And he felt all that just as he felt the pain when the nails were going through his hands. And through his feet. And when he was being flogged. And when the spear went in his side. He felt all that. We have this picture sometimes. He's God, right? So he's like, he doesn't feel that stuff. But that's not true. He felt that stuff. He felt emotional pain. He felt hunger. And we forget that he felt every emotion humans feel. So Jesus knew how emotionally tough this is to battle from a flesh standpoint. Even though he never gave in, he knows the toll it takes. We're not alone. You're not alone. I'm not alone. So how do we battle when life is throwing things at us? Whether it's temptation, situations, or thoughts, we need to battle with Scripture. We need to battle with Scripture. That's how we battle. That's how we battle. We can't gird it up ourselves. We can't be tough. I'm Mr. Macho and nothing's going to break me. Because I've been broken. I've been broken, and I know what that's like. It's not a fun place to be. And that was with me trying to gird up and do it myself before I knew Christ. And now, If you're a believer, you know better. The battle is His. The battle is His. In battle with Scripture. But we have to have a good understanding of the Scriptures, of where they come from, and the real meaning, so that we're not deceived. We're not deceived. We're not deceived by Satan when he comes at us and tells us, hey, you can do that. Look, it says right here. And you take that one little line. And you know inside, it's not right. Because the Holy Spirit's kind of telling you that. But in your mind, we're able to justify it. Those are two different things. You can have a lot of head knowledge and still be guided the wrong way. But when the Holy Spirit is talking to you, He'll never lead you the wrong way. I just met up with a friend by accident yesterday, and he was telling me, He broke up with his girlfriend a while back because the Holy Spirit said, this is not good for you. And he liked the person. But the Holy Spirit said, don't go down there. You're going to struggle if you go down that path. It's not meant for you. You're going to face consequences. And so he broke up with her. That's a tough thing to do. Because we all fall in love. Right? We fall in love. And those feelings sometimes trump over Holy Spirit leading.
Recording in progress.
That's all right, John. Obviously we don't need that today. That's why I set up Facebook Live. We're good. So we can get fooled. It doesn't take much, honestly. I'm a pretty good fool. I make good practice out of it at times. And it's crazy. Because even after all these years, I'm better. I'm better than where I was. I'm glad about that. I've taken steps to improve on that. But I'm not there yet. I got a long ways to go. And this is the words that are speaking to me, saying, this is where you grab from. This is how you battle, Reggie. Stop trying to do it on your own. Stop it. Every time we overcome these situations, we face, and we pull into God more. We reach into God more. It gives off God's fragrance. Doesn't it? So temptation comes and we battle that. There's a fragrance that goes up to heaven. And then not only that, but it spreads around. That's the light that the Scriptures talk about. How we set apart. How we set apart. Do we look different? Do we smell different? Pancakes, pretty good smell. I don't even like pancakes. Which is, I know. Don't get on me. I know it's a problem. I know it's un-American, but I don't like pancakes.
They aren't even mixed up.
I know. I know. I understand. It's not even combined, but still. But still has a good smell. I don't like coffee. Great smell. Great smell. Don't like coffee. But there's temptation there. And that's the temptation that we want. Right? We want God's fragrance coming off of us so that people are tempted to learn about Him. What a beautiful thing. Think about that. That's how much God loves us. He uses us. We are made for Him. He is invested in you. He's invested in me. We're not just little peons. We're important to Him. Why did he make us? He was fine. He was totally fine by himself. We bring light into darkness, and we put a smile on God's face every time we push back against evil. Here are a couple of examples of battling and utilizing scriptures. This is just I've told you guys, and I was talking about being in a dark place. I mean, my anxiety had pretty much was going to kill me. I was going to kill myself at one point, before I got saved. It was bad. I couldn't even walk into Walmart. That's how bad it was. My brother's birthday, it was his birthday coming up. I went into Walmart and I turned around and walked right back out because I couldn't even walk in there to get him a gift. It was a family celebration and I was outside crying by myself while everybody was gathered because I couldn't be around people. It's pretty bad. There's a point I almost didn't come out of the house. And God grabbed a hold of me. And He took me from there. And the very first scripture that I clung on to with everything I had, and I didn't cling on to very many scriptures because I didn't know how this all worked. But I clung on to this scripture. This scripture hit me so much that it's everywhere all around me all the time. Every time I can see it. And it brought life to me. With 2 Timothy 1-7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. He's there for us. All the time. But we've got to believe those scriptures. We can't just read those scriptures. We gotta believe those scriptures. And there's times in my life where I get very frustrated. I don't really tend to get angry too often, but I get frustrated. I get frustrated with people and I get frustrated with situations. And this world is a frustrating world, honestly, isn't it? My goodness. Oh. And what I'm trying to do now is speak scripture over this stuff. And that's what he's trying to tell us, is we need to speak scripture over this. Scriptures like John 16:33. These things are spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Where do we get our peace? From him. If you're looking for peace from this world, you're done. You'd be like Isaiah, right? Woe is me. I'm finished. If you look at from the world. Right? So we need to look to Him. Will you want peace? Look to Him. You want peace? Read the words. You want peace? Speak those words. It is written in Jesus' name. I didn't really fully grasp that power. It isn't until a couple of years ago I started figuring this out. And when you grasp that and you really believe it, something happens. Something happens. God changes you. And things around you, you start to notice where God intervenes. All of a sudden your eyes are open. And you were talking about God intervening last week, right, Steve? Was that last week? Yeah, it was last week, right? Time goes by so fast. So anyways, where you notice where God intervened in your life. Right? And you start to say, wow, if it wasn't for God, there's no way I would have gone through that situation. Maybe it's a miracle, right? Like a car being moved like we heard about. But a lot of times, it's decisions that are put in place before you that move you a certain way. Like the person who was going to get on a plane and the plane didn't take off for some reason. Or they missed their flight. They were too late and then the plane crashes. Right? That could be coincidence, but it could also be God protecting you. I heard a story of 9/11. And this always gets confusing to people. And it confuses me sometimes. But at 9/11, there was a fireman who was surrounded by fire on both sides. And he was with other people. And he heard the Lord say, go down the stairs through the fire. And he went through the fire. 2,400 degrees probably. And nothing happened to him. And nothing happened to him, and the rest of the people perished. And he had to live with the understanding and trying to figure out, why did the other people not hear those words? And if they did hear those words, why didn't they follow me? Why didn't they trust enough to go through the fire like I did? Those are tough questions that people have to live with and deal with. Right? You gotta listen. You gotta be reading. We gotta utilize the words. In the word, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So no matter what you're going through, what you're facing, at some point, you're going to be at peace with God. Right? This is short term. I remember watching, I can't remember who it was, they were showing a rope and they had a big long rope and they were showing the lifespan on that rope was this big on that big long rope because eternity is huge. Eternity is huge. This is just a blip. Do you believe in eternity? Do you really believe in eternity?
Yes.
Because if you don't, this is going to be a hard life. Another scripture I use for frustration, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does he mean, come to me?
Give him all your burdens.
Give up all your burdens. Surrender. Realize you can't do it all on your own. The hardest thing we have in the Northeast is to surrender. We hate to surrender to anything. Right? I'll fight against everything. It's so natural for me. If you come at me, I'll come at you. It's that easy. Right? You give me something, I'll give you something. You know, you give me, comfort and peace, I'll die for you. But you come at me hard, I'll come at you hard. I have no problem with that. That's my natural tendency. I gotta rein that in. And that takes work. And surrender to the Lord. Because on my own, it ain't gonna happen. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I think that's what the fellow I was talking to the other day was going through. Like, he had to make a decision, right? Either you're gonna keep battling, or you're gonna listen to the Holy Spirit and make a decision. Now, on March 19th, I told you I'm preaching, so I expect you all to be here. And I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm challenging you. I feel like Steve Edmund right now. I'm challenging you to do this and come up with a situation. Come up with a situation, because a lot of this is going to be, you guys are going to be interacting a lot more than today, that's for sure. So, come up with a situation. It can be real, it can be made up. Okay, I don't really care. It can be real or made up. It can be current or past. And then I want you to take a scripture they've used or could use in that battle. And we're going to talk about those. Because you know why? Iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron, right? And how do we learn to battle it? And not only that, but you also get to see, hey, somebody else has a problem that I have. Believe it or not, you're not alone. You're not alone. You're in a situation. And we're going to start digging a little deeper. We're going to start working a little bit more. We're going to do church a little differently. And we're going to spend the majority of time doing this and discussing this. Steve has been talking about the vision, right? We've talked about the vision we have for ourselves and for the church, right? And we can view church as a religious duty. And one of my visions is to break that idea. That's not a religious duty. It's not a religious duty. We're going to change that mentality. The vision God has been putting on my heart is to have people being excited to come to church instead of a duty. Instead of walking in like, oh, Sunday morning, I got to go to church. I want people coming in jazzed up. Let's rock this thing. Let's get excited because the Lord wants us to know stuff. He wants us to know stuff. He wants you on a personal level. Are you excited for that? Do you understand what a grand opportunity that is to have God who really is invested in you as a person who believes you have purpose, who's given you purpose, and sometimes we stepped away from that purpose, but He says, guess what? You're off the wrong path. I'm going to bring you back to the right path. I'm glad I'm not the only one that moves my body and moves all around. Thank you, Vicky, for doing that, so I feel like I'm not the only one that gets all wound up. Being excited and thankful to be part of a group of like-minded people who understand the opportunity to be transformed by Jesus' teachings. Jesus' teachings. Transforming us. Transforming us. Making us something different. Yeah, that's scary because we're going out there and we're going to get ridiculed. Who cares? Honestly, I'm so tired of even caring about that stuff. Aren't you tired of that? You want to be laden and heavy burden? Worry about what other people think of you. That will pound the snot out of you. We should be excited that the mighty and powerful God is interested in each one of us. And I was listening to Louis Giglio a little while ago, and he was talking about when Baylor University won the national championship for basketball. And I didn't want Steve to feel like he's the only one that talks about sports, so I'm going to tell you a sports story. So they won the championship, and nobody really thought they could, right? And after they won that championship, they didn't really talk about what the media had expected them to talk about when they asked them, how did you do this? How did you accomplish this feat? And they thought, well, maybe like the coaches or maybe a player or maybe a stat or maybe something like that was the reason that they would give. But every single one of them said, it's because they played in a culture of joy. They played in a culture of joy. And because of that reason, They rose up. They rose up. The culture of joy kept them positive during their losses. The culture of joy kept them humble in their victories. And then Louis went on to ask his congregation, are we creating a culture of joy in the church? And that's what I'm asking you. Are we creating a culture of joy in the church? Or are we creating a sense of duty? Because those are two different things. Those are two different things. Yes, there is a sense of duty because Jesus calls us, right? But that shouldn't be your main driving force. You shouldn't be beaten into church. You should want to come to church. You should want to come to church. Be excited. Learn His Word. Be transformed. And go out there and change the world. One little bit at a time. One person at a time. Maybe it's a group at a time. Maybe it's a workplace at a time. Maybe it's a basketball team at a time. Where's the culture of joy in the church? That hit me. That hit me. The Holy Spirit just went boom and got revved up as soon as I heard that. Are we excited to be challenged? To come up with a situation we battle? Are you excited when I challenge you that way? Because this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be excited to help somebody else. Are you excited to help somebody else? Are you excited to help somebody else? I don't buy it. My gosh. Come on. Ah, I know how Malcolm used to feel. My goodness. And I was the same way, sitting there going, yeah. So I get it. My goodness.
Reflect yourself.
Right. Exactly. You only take in one scripture. That's it. No. Are we excited? Are we excited? And find a scripture to battle with, to share with this culture. Do we feel like it's just another religious activity to do because the pastor asked us to do it? Or is it an exciting opportunity? I'll know on the 19th when you all don't show up or you do. Let's create a culture of joy in this place. Let us be the iron that sharpens iron. Those are great words, but if there's no action, it doesn't mean anything. This world is challenging. Let's meet the challenge with excitement, not anxiety. Those are two different things that give off very similar feelings. Anxiety and excitement. Anxiety is your glass half empty. Excitement is your glass half full. Which do you choose? Which do I choose? Let's believe and utilize the words we read, as this is not just a book we read. You can read the book in a year like people do, which is great. But if you're just reading it to get through it, it means nothing. It means nothing. You gotta meditate on it. You gotta pray on it. You gotta write things down on it. We gotta live it. We have to understand that this life is a gift. God put us here for a reason. That's what the world out there that's lost doesn't know. That's why they're filled with fear and anxiety and lost and have no purpose and don't want to go to work because there's no sense of we gotta work for social, for the social well-being of everybody. If nobody's working at the manufacturing jobs, we're going to have a supply issue. Surprise! We have a supply issue. There has to be a sense of duty to do that stuff. And that comes from God. He's saying, like, listen, you're a purpose. And you may be that person that's supposed to be working in a manufacturing job or at McDonald's. Or it doesn't matter, because you're fulfilling a purpose. We're not meant to just sit home, watch TV, play on our phones. We're meant to have purpose beyond that. It's not all about money, making money. Sometimes we do jobs we don't like because that's the purpose God put in front of us. I'm lucky. I do a job I love. I love torturing people. It's just fun. I work out my anxiety that way, right? Just lucky. I fell into it. God put me there. I don't know what to say. But there's times I've had to do things that I don't like to do because other people need that done. And sometimes we have to do a job like that. It's a gift. And it all depends on how we view it. When we're doing that, are we doing it with anger or strife? Are we doing it with love and compassion? It's huge. There's differences. And it comes from the Scripture. So let's be bold through Scripture. Dear Lord, I just lift up every person here. I pray if they have any doubts that they were put here for a purpose, that those doubts are erased instantaneously. I pray that the burdens that we're carrying that we're not supposed to carry and give it up to you through Scripture, we give it up to you. Help us to surrender more. Help us to battle the right way. Pull us through some tough times. Help us to recognize when we have joy that comes from you. You're a mighty God. You're the powerful God. You know all. You know what's inside and out. You know what's coming. You know what's been behind us. We can't hide anything from you. This is just crazy. It's a crazy thought. But you're the master. Help us to lean into you and look to your direction. Help us to read these scriptures and understand the power that comes with them. This book is here for a reason too. It has a purpose. We just love you and thank you. In your name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say a quick blessing over food, and then we're going to close with somebody who's a computer person here. Sydney, is she still?